Good morning, church. Good morning. It is that time. It is that time. It is that time. Pastor Jeff is away, and he's given me the keys to the palace. So I have the keys, church. I'm excited you guys decided to come with us today and hear me speak. I am honored, I am humbled, and I am excited to share with you the Word of God today. Shout out to those who came all the way from Barrhaven to hear me speak. Thank you, friends, for coming. Appreciate it. And we're so glad. I am excited to share this word. So without further ado, I hope that I share this word with honor and justice the way that we honor this word, because God has blessed us and I want to do him justice. So let's pray. God, thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word. I am excited. I am thrilled to share this word. Bless our pastor, God. Whatever he's doing, I just pray for blessing over him as he's away. In your name I pray. Amen. Cool. So if you guys have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 15. This is old school. We got the actual Word of God in front of me today, so we're going to read the Word. The book of John is in the New Testament. The Bible's broken up into the Old and the New Testament. The New Testament is all about Jesus, the early church, and what he has done since dying on the cross. And John is the fourth book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So when you're there, say holla. Say holla when you're there. Holla. Sweet. Cool. So this is a bit lengthier, but bear with me. There is so much goodness found in this word. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will even be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Ouch, that's hot. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one life for one's friends. You are my friends. If you do what I command, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. If you are into marking up your Bibles, underline that. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. That is a lot of remaining in me and love. That is where we're going to be going today, church. We're going to be talking a little bit about the Bible. We're going to be dissecting this passage. But how many of you guys have a best friend? A best friend, your ride or die companion, the person that you're going to be going to first, the very first person that you're going to be calling when you're in trouble, the person that you can depend on, the person that you've gotten into trouble with maybe, whatever it is. We all have that best friend. Wives, it is okay if you do not say your husbands. Husbands, say your wives, okay? We all have that best friend, okay? But today, church, I want to talk to you about my best friend. Yes, some of you have known him. He normally speaks on a Sunday morning, church. I want to talk to you about my best friend, Pastor Jeff Hillier. Pastor Jeff Hillier. And I have a couple pictures to show you guys. So I'm going to show you guys the first picture. That's me and Pastor Jeff right there. Yeah, me and him. History Museum, I believe. Oh, that's a soccer game. Yeah, me and Jeff at the soccer game. That was good. Oh, Montreal. What a wonderful time it was. So good. So good. That's us searching caves. Great times. Great time searching the caves. Next slide. The Jays game. Oh, Pastor Jeff, what a joker. Ottawa, the city of love. So great. So good. Church, I'm Pastor Jeff is not my best friend. I'm sorry to disappoint. I don't know if you know us, but that was photoshopped. I did it myself. But today, church, I want to talk to you about my best friend. My best friend, and some of you know him, some of you may not know him, but his name's Jesus. Jesus is my best friend. He has changed my life from the moment I stayed committed. I'm saying, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to have a strong relationship with you. And we have had a growing relationship, me and Jesus. He has always been faithful to me. He has always accepted me. And I know that he's just always just gets so much joy when I just take time to spend time with him. Today, church, we're going to talk about what it means to be a best friend. This passage speaks about how Jesus is our best friend. He loves us so much. We need to remain in his love. He is the vine. We are the branches. He is the vine. We need to remain in his life so that we can go out and love others. We're going to be talking about what it means to be a best friend. But the bottom line for today's message, the bottom line, this is the main, the whole message is in this one line. We are beloved to show love. We are beloved to show love. You can't preach it unless it rhymes. So that's why I did. We are beloved to show love. That is the whole idea today. Jesus has loved us. He has loved us so much. God sent his son, Jesus, to die for us so that we could enter into relationship. But it doesn't just stop there, church. It actually continues. We are to replicate that same love. Live the life. Live just like Jesus so that we can go out and love other people. So church, we are going to find out what it means to be a best friend to someone. Now, I do have one of my best friends here tonight. We've grown up together. We've gotten into much trouble together. But my best friend is here tonight, and I have a picture of him. That is my best friend, one of them right there. His name's Daniel. Shout out to Daniel. He's here tonight. That was us at a school dance. And we got the award right there. Look at that bowl cut. Do you see it right there? I think I did it myself, maybe. And then those chipmunk cheeks, you know? Anyways, that was us. We got an award, and it was Attach at the Hip. Attach at the Hip Award. We were partners in crime. That was it. But there was this one time when I was younger, when I first met Daniel. Now, Daniel was like the cool guy in elementary school, you know? He was tall. He was funny. The ladies loved him, you know? He was a great guy. But Daniel was just a funny guy, and I was a bit shy, I was a bit awkward, and there was this one time where I was growing up playing hockey, and we had hockey tryouts, and during this time, during hockey tryouts, I was just skating around. Now, I'm not too sure if you are familiar with hockey language, but I was a bender. Now, what that means is I skated like this. My toes were skating like this. I could hardly stop. The way that I stopped is I would just skate into the boards, and that was me stopping, you know? But anyways, there was this time where we were playing hockey, and then I was just minding my own business, just skating around, and then this guy just hit me. He just hit me, and I fell down there, and I'm like, what the heck? Who hit me? And I look over, and then I see Daniel just smiling. He's smiling. He hit me down, and I'm like, wait, is that Daniel Farsajani? Did Daniel Farsajani just hit me? The coolest guy in elementary school just hit me down? And I felt so accepted. I'm like, oh, and I was just so giddy, you know? So my dad at the end, so we were in the dressing room. I'm untying my dad's untying my skates. I'm going to be honest with you. He was untying my skates. And then I just kept looking up, and I'm like, oh, Daniel's right over there. He hit me over. He hit me down. And I was just so excited. I'm like, wow. And then at the end, I'm like, man, you're playing hockey? Like, I'm playing hockey. This is so cool. And I'm like, did we just become best friends? And then, you know, that was the start of our awesome friendship. And Daniel accepted me. He was the cool guy, and he accepted me. Though I was a bit quirky, I was a bit weird. I had an over-obsession with Spider-Man. I still had my blankie. I was a weird kid, but he still accepted me, you know? And but church today, I want to talk to you about someone who has accepted you, Jesus. Though we are imperfect, Jesus, who is perfect, has accepted us who are imperfect. He has accepted us, church. And I want to let you guys know that regardless of how weird we all are, we are all very weird, he has accepted us. And some of us, you know, though you may feel that you are unworthy to be accepted by Jesus, you are accepted. He loves you. He's there for you. He accepts you every, your past, your present, and your future. He accepts it all. He just wants to have a relationship with you. And yes, some of you may feel that you're just so inadequate to receive God's love. I'm here to tell you that he accepts you. I am not the biggest guy in the market, but he accepts me, you know? Girls, when you're waking up in the morning, you have bedhead hair, your face isn't really on, you know? He accepts you still. When some of you have those ugly cries, and I have seen some fierce ugly cries at the altar, makeup running down your face, oh, Jesus! And he accepts you, church. Makeup running down. He still accepts you, guys. You are accepted. You are loved. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Now, when I read this, I'm like, wow, Jesus just dropped the biggest pickup line in the history of ever. The biggest pickup line. You did not choose me, but I chose you. He accepted you, church. He accepted you just the way you are, who you are. He has accepted you, and he just wants to have a relationship with you. He just wants to get to know you a little bit more, and he loves you. He has made the ultimate first move. He saw you and still wanted you, even with your ugly cry. When you accept that you are accepted, you can experience joy. When you accept that you are accepted, you can experience joy. So going on with me and Daniel's friendship, there was this time. I was in grade 11, I believe, and my mom's here tonight, and I would say that me and my mom, we can be very stubborn people. Mom, I love you. I'm so thankful you decided to join us today, but sometimes me and my mom growing up, we got into arguments because I was just so stubborn, and I just had to be right, and there was this time where we were just in a disagreement, and I said, you know what? That's it. I'm done. I'm leaving. I'm moving out. So like grade 11, Nick Romaine goes up his steps, opens up his backpack, packs up some clothes, packs up his Spidey toy, and I'm like, you know what? Me and Spidey, we're out. Peace. Sayonara. We're gone. So me and Spidey went out, you know, and then I called up Daniel. I'm like, yo, Daniel, you'll never believe this, man. I ran away from home. Where does my mom think I'm going to go? The first person she's going to call is Daniel. It wasn't much of a running away. But, you know, me and Daniel had an amazing week. We laughed, we hung out, but we didn't really do much. The truth is we just sat around, talked, but there was joy. I experienced this joy just being, hanging out with Daniel, just spending time with him. There was joy, and I experienced that love. That's what a best friend is. Someone who accepts us regardless of who we are, but someone who just gets so much joy just spending time with you. It doesn't matter what you're doing. There's joy that comes from just being around your best friend. Church, I want to let you know that God just wants to spend time with us. He gets so much joy when we take a small amount of time just to acknowledge his greatness, his holiness, and just be still and just know that he is God. He has provided this amazing joy. In verse 11, we see, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Church, you need to get excited. You need to get so joyful. I get so excited just knowing that I have a God who loves me so much, that he accepts me the way I am, and that this joy, this passion that I have is because of Jesus. It's because I know that God's looking at. My Father is looking after me. God is watching you. He is with you. He supports you, and he is just so encouraged by the amazing accomplishments each and every one of you are doing. He loves you, and he's so proud of each and every one of you, and he just wants to spend time with you. He just wants to know that you're taking time to acknowledge him. That could be 5 minutes in the morning, at the end of the night. He just gets so excited knowing that we get to spend time with him. So we have a best friend is someone who accepts us. A best friend is someone who just enjoys spending time with us. And a best friend is someone, the third point, is that we can depend on them. Our best friend is someone that we can depend on them. Now, I was in grade 9 at this time, and we had a school dance We had a school dance, and I'm not here to, you know, say school dancing is wrong or right. And if I was, I would just say watch the movie Footloose, you know, great movie. Anyways, back to the point. There was a school dance, and I remember that was the school dance that I showed the photo of me and Daniel. And I was there. I was the smallest guy probably in the school. And when you're small, one of the things that the guys like to do is take them and go crowd surfing with them. To go crowd surfing. So I've gone crowd surfing a couple times in my life, and I have a couple tips. The first one, when you're in midair, don't look down. Don't look down. Number two, make sure you have someone kind of guiding you when you're going crowd surfing, you know? So I was experienced and I was going crowd surfing, and then my friends were throwing me up. I'm like, wow, this is kind of nice. Wow, this is a bit higher than normal. And then the third time I'm going so high, I'm like, oh my goodness. And I looked down, church. What did I say? You don't look down, but I did. I did look down, and I came falling down, and I landed on my back like this, and I said, this is the end. This is the end. I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to get, this is it. I'm done. Sayonara. So, and then all of a sudden, someone came. My knight in shining armor came. My friend Daniel came, church. My friend Daniel came. He came to my rescue. He put his armor around me, and I put my armor on, and I was walking off like this, you know, walking out, and I was so winded, church. I was in so much pain. But you know what? My friend was there for me. I could depend on them. He was with me every step of the way. Church, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is with you. You can depend on him. He is with you, church. He loves you. He's accepted you, and he just wants to spend time with you. You can depend on Jesus. He is with you every step of the way. In verse 7, it says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Ask whatever you wish. That doesn't sound like someone who is selfish. That doesn't sound like someone who is in it for themselves. That actually sounds like someone who wants to put our priorities first. Someone who is just so anxious and waiting to hear us just ask for his help. Church, he is there for you. We can depend on him. Jesus is with you every step of the way. I don't know what you guys are facing. I don't know what you guys came in here with. Maybe on the way here to church this morning, you got into an argument. You were stressed about something. Church, I'm here to tell you that you can depend on him. That he is with you. That he's waiting for you. Just to take time, just to say, God, please, I need your help right now. Church, he is there for you. You can depend on him. I can tell you that. You don't have to do life alone. Find confidence knowing Jesus, your friend, is there for you. He's there for you, church. You can depend on them. If you are facing something, don't think that you're doing this alone. Your best friend is there for you. He will show up to the fight with you because that's what friends do. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through today, whatever struggles you're facing right now, I want to let you guys know that you don't have to do this fight alone. A friend is someone who will fight alongside with you, who will support you, who will be with you every step of the way. Jesus is with us every step of the way. When I was younger, I have this other friend, and he is a bit shorter than me, and he is a bit hairier than I am, and he had a bit of facial hair going on right here. And I remember this time where some friends in high school were making fun of him, and I took it upon myself, because my friend's being made fun of, I'm going to defend my friend. So I said, you know what? The next time you say something about my friend, I'm going to have to get involved. Now, I'm a small guy, church. I wasn't really going to do much, you know. I was all talk. That's why I'm preaching today. I'm all talk. But anyways, so sure enough, this guy said something. I said, buddy, I told you, meet me at the flagpole. That was the thing to say in high school. Meet me at the flagpole. Yeah, like anything's going to happen. But anyways, you know, word got around the school. Oh, Nick and so-and-so are about to go down. They're about to scrap. They're going to fight. And then I had my boys with me. Daniel was with me. Oh, because your friends are with you. They show up with you to the fight. So my friends were with me, you know. We were walking out, and then, you know, we're in the back of the field, and all my friends are around. High school kids are around. and we're about to go down. I'm like, woo, let's go, you know? Anyways, we go into it, and we just start wrestling. Church, it was the worst fight in the history of fights. It wasn't even a fight. It was so bad, we actually had someone come down and counsel us after. You guys are friends. Friends don't do this. You know, it wasn't even a fight, church. But I'm here to tell you this. You don't have to do these battles alone. You don't have to fight the battles alone. You have a friend. You can find confidence knowing that Jesus is with you. He is with you every step of the way. You don't have to do this alone. So a best friend is someone who we can who accepts us. A best friend is someone who gets filled with joy just spending time with us. And a best friend is someone that we can depend on. Who we can depend on. I share these three traits to not only find out who we are to Jesus, but to determine who we are to be through Jesus. These three traits were shared to not only determine who we are to Jesus, but to say who we are to be through Jesus. He's given us a way, church. He has provided something for us. In this whole passage, it was centered around the idea to be remaining in him. He said it multiple times, remain in him, remain in his love, so that he is the vine, but we are the branches, and we are actually supposed to produce something, to be good stewards, to produce this fruit, to show something of it. We are beloved to show love. We are beloved to show love. We are supposed to produce something. That means that, church, some of you know Jesus your whole life. That's awesome. That's great. But my question is, what are you producing of it? What are you showing? What fruit are you showing with that love that Jesus has shown you? What are you doing with it? Some of you may not know Jesus. Some of you, this may be your first time in church today. Well, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is a friend. He is with you. He accepts you, and he just wants to spend time with you, and you can depend on him. You have the opportunity today, friends, to experience that love, that passion. Jesus has changed my life, and I have faced some hard times. There's times where I didn't know what to do. I'm like, God, you're real. Show yourself. And there was times where I had to wait a long time, but he shows up. He shows up. I don't know the time. I don't know when exactly he shows up, but he shows up in the right time. He's kind of like Gandalf the Great, you know? He kind of just shows up right at the right time, you know? He shows up. Church, Jesus is with you, and he wants to have a long, everlasting relationship with you. He loves you. So what does that mean? What does this whole thing mean? There are two things that we're supposed to take away from this passage. One, we are to love each other as Christ has loved us. We are to love each other as Christ has loved us. Number two, we are to do life not alone, but with one another. The very last words that Jesus says in this passage was love each other. To love each other. That means we are going to pick up arms with one another. We're going to link arms. We're going to do this alone. We're going to do this together. We're going to march together as an army of disciples, followers of Jesus, in doing life together. To forgive one another, to love one another, to accept one another, and to be there for them. We don't have to do this alone, church. We are to do this together and to remain in Jesus. We always look to Jesus. We always focus. We always remain in his love, aligning ourselves with him. We focus in on him. Church, we are to love him, remain in his love, because we are beloved to show love. Pastor Steve, if you want to come up. My two questions today, my one question today is that what kind of friendship will you have with someone like this? Like, what Jesus has blessed you with, what are you going to do? Are you going to do that to someone else? Are you going to be that kind of friend to someone else? Who are you investing in? What fruit are you producing? My second point today, my last point is, what would this world look like? What would it look like if we all took this seriously, if we all remained in his love, if we all took time to acknowledge how great, how mighty, how awesome Jesus is, and actually done something with it to produce that fruit? I think we would see the sanctuary filled up. I think we'd see the sanctuary filled up if we actually demonstrated and followed Jesus' teachings, remained in his love, and we would see the sanctuary filled up. We would see a lot more churches, a lot more people knowing Jesus. My heart, my prayer is that everybody, that the norm in society would be church. That the norm in society would be that people know Jesus. That is my heart. Jesus has changed my life, church, and I believe that he can change yours. I believe he can change yours. And today, we want to provide that opportunity. Maybe you know Jesus your whole life, and you just are going through a hard time, and you just need him to show up in your life. Well, we're going to pray for that today. Maybe you don't know Jesus, but you want to experience that acceptance, that joy, and to find someone that you can depend on. You're going to have that opportunity today. We're going to come to the front. We're going to pray for you. So without further ado, I'm going to close in some prayer. God, thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word. I love you. I'm thankful for you. You have changed my life, Jesus. And I pray that you will continue to be, that we can be that friend to other people as you are to us. I thank you, God, for all that you've done. In your name I pray.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Come in. Can we stand this morning? Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is formed. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. This morning, I think it would be appropriate that if we could just close our eyes just in this moment. Pastor Nick, that was an awesome message, man. Thank you. I can tell that came straight from your heart. But I believe God wants to start some new relationships in this place this morning. And maybe you don't know him. Maybe you've been longing for something. Maybe you've been longing for a relationship and you might have tried all sorts of things. You've searched and you searched and you searched. But there's been something missing in your life. I'm here and I stand on this platform to say that person is Jesus. It's not a thing, it's Jesus, it's a him. And he wants to have relationship with you. If you're in that place this morning, I'm going to ask, with respect, let's close our eyes. It's just me. If that's you this morning, why don't you just lift your hand and acknowledge that you need him? We're not going to wait too long, but I think it would be appropriate this morning to have this time. So if that's you this morning, why don't you just lift your hand? Is there anybody? Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Amen. Let's say this prayer together. Father, thank you for loving me. Even when I have been unlovable. Lord, I pray you would come into my heart and be king of my life. That's why I'm here. We pray this in your name. Jesus, amen. Amen. Praise God. Come on, can we celebrate this morning? We're going to open up these altars this morning. If you want to come and pray, maybe some of our altar workers can join us if you feel that you need some prayer this morning. But we're going to dismiss this service. And welcome to join us if you want. But it's been a good day in the house of the Lord. Father, thank you that we can come. We don't take this moment for granted, but in fact, we celebrate that we can come and praise you and worship you in an open place like this. Lord, thank you for your spirit that was all throughout this service. Lord, thank you for your love, the best friend's love that we have experienced this morning. Lord, protect us as we go. Be with us. Be with our families. And bring us back to the next time that we're to join together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. Amen.